It's the VancouverEntrepreneur.ca podcast.
Hello, this is Robert Smigel coming to you today with VancouverEntrepreneur.ca, where we talk to the entrepreneurs who are making it happen here in British Columbia. Today, we're with Terry McBride, who is the current CEO of Why Yoga and one of the three founding members of the Network Music Group, which includes Network Productions, an independent record label, Network Management, Artist and Producer Management, Network One Publishing, and Artworks, Graphic and Fashion Design. Founded in McBride's apartment in 1984, Network has corporate offices in Vancouver, Boston, Los Angeles, Nashville, New York, Hamburg, and London. Since 1984, Network has released over 500 albums and sold over 150 million copies worldwide. Well, Terry, welcome to the show. Thanks for taking the time today to be here for all our listeners.
Hi, how are you?
Great. Okay, so I want you to tell us a little bit more about yourself, where you're from, your background, and give us the details on your current business or businesses.
Well, that's a big question. Well, my history is I was born in Vancouver, raised out in Richmond, went to UBC. I did four years of engineering. Took a sabbatical at a point in my life where I had to make a lot of decisions. My sport of choice was field hockey, and I, you know, played at the international level. And I had to decide between that, civil engineering, which is you can't do anything else if you're like studying engineering, let's just put it that way, besides maybe drink.
Yeah.
And my love, which was music. So I decided to take a sabbatical, decided to stop playing field hockey, and started a record label. Didn't have a clue what I was doing, which was probably the best thing, because it was a business that was stuck in its ways, and I just came at it from a completely different point of view, having not been educated in it, having an engineering background. I was interested in data. I was interested in like trying to understand what was happening through data, which at that point no one was basically doing. And I met a fellow named Mark Jowett, who I co-founded the company with. He was in a band called Mauve, which was an electronic band back in the early 80s here in Vancouver. And for some reason, I thought I could manage them. At that point, I didn't know what artist management was. But out of that was the foundation of Network. And we've kept very, very true to one really simple mantra: only release music we love. And being that Mark and I have a real penance for singer-songwriter, that opens up an awful lot of things, because that means that you can do electronic music, you can do rock music, you can do folk music, as long as it's singer-songwriter-driven. So our interest is in signing artists who write, record, and perform their own music. And so that's really the history of Network, and it's, that's been a roller coaster ride. It's had some major ups and some major downs, then more ups and more, and more downs. The way I kind of look at that is, you're never really screaming on your way up. So, it's always good to scream on your way down.
Yes, absolutely.
And then in the case of Why Yoga, I co-founded that company with Laura Kozan. This would have been probably back in about 2008, and it had a lot to do with the fact that I couldn't find a yoga studio at that time in Vancouver that I wanted to be a member of. I could find yoga teachers I liked to practice with, but I couldn't find a studio that really fit me, a sort of 40-year-old guy. I could find them in Hong Kong, I could find them in some other large cities, but I couldn't find them here. So it really was an exercise in being selfish. So I built myself a yoga studio. But it's also an exercise in being selfless, because I knew that there is lots of people who were very similar to me that would like to practice yoga, but didn't want to have to change in closets, didn't want to have to carry all this stuff with them, wanted to have a shower afterwards so they could go back to work, There's just a bunch of things about the experience that didn't make it easy to be a yogi. And that really is the sort of genesis of really both of those companies.
Okay, let's take you back to 1984. Did you need financing to start your company? How does the company currently make money now?
Well, what would happen is Mark and I worked other jobs. I mean, I would work at a fish plant, do like a midnight shift. I also was a lifeguard. I was a barista for one day. I got fired. I couldn't make the coffees quick enough. This was pre-like Starbucks days. I worked as a pizza delivery guy. Worked at an independent record store. Mark did the same thing. He had 3-4 different jobs. And so, you know, we worked at the record company first thing in the morning during our lunch hours, and from, you know, 6 till, you know, midnight. We just didn't sleep. Just funny enough, no like different than my, you know, current life with babies. So that's how we did it. It was all self-financed.
Okay. Now, with your current companies, what are the long-term vision and what will your companies look like in the future? Do you see the companies expanding into other areas, and where beyond Vancouver, BC, or even Canada?
Well, Network as a music company has always been a flat world company. So the majority of our business, even from day one, was outside of Canada. And within the digital world, and especially the one that's becoming a sort of streaming dominated world, it's still 95% outside of Canada. And probably 9 out of 10 acts that we sign are not Canadian artists. It's, you know, music. It's music that we love, and that can come from anywhere. So we can do as much business in the, you know, Netherlands as what we do in Canada. And so I think the, you know, growth of music is going to be really interesting. I think you're going to see the return of the middle class that was decimated by the advent of Napster. You're going to see the value of catalogs. You're going to see a business that's been in recession for the better part of the last 12 years. You're going to see it have mid-single-digit growth this year, high single-digit growth next year, and double-digit growth after that for probably 3-4 years. And that's simply the conversion of people from free to a paid service, because the paid service is like a digital valet. It adds a lot of value, which makes the free model just a big hassle. So I think that you're going to see the music business double to triple over like the next 10 years. So that's a great business to be in. It's great to be an artist that is what I'll call a middle class artist, which is an artist that is not dependent upon radio, but writes amazing songs that can resonate all over the world. And so that's a really good place, because that really fits sort of Network's mantra from day one. We always look at radio and all that sort of commercial success as a bonus, not as a need. So we don't sign artists with the thought that we're going to get them on radio. If they happen to give us a song that gets on the radio, then we're only too happy to take it in that direction. But it's not something that we really require. So I think that's in a really good space there. Switching to the yoga side, I think the yoga business is about to make the transition from the brick and mortar business to a sort of click and mortar business, where I think the yoga business can go digital. I think it has to change how it goes digital, and I intend to make that change. Knowing what I know about how yoga works and how, you know, music works, and really, in all honesty, they're the same business. It's the monetization of emotions. I mean, yoga's thousands of years old, music's thousands of years old, and they're both emotional. You tend to go to each of those things when you're, you know, dealing with something emotional. So they're very, very similar businesses, and yoga can sit in a digital realm really, really well. It just has to be done in an emotional way, and that has not been done yet.
Okay. Well, you have offices all over the world, but I want to focus a little bit more on Vancouver here. Mm-hmm. What are the biggest benefits for you in being an entrepreneur here in Vancouver, BC? I want you to give us some of the good points about starting a company here, but I also want you to give us some of the tough things or challenges for our listeners so they can keep an eye out for them.
Well, the reason why our head office is still here, and it might be our head office, but it's not our biggest office. Our biggest office is in Los Angeles, is simply because I won't move. This is an absolutely beautiful city, and I've seen thousands of cities all over the world. And Vancouver is beautiful. It's unique. It's multicultural. It just has a beautiful energy to it. It's clean. So you get a work-life balance here that you're not going to get if you live in New York, L.A. You would get that work-life balance in Nashville. You would not get it in London. You would not get it in Hamburg. So that's a real positive. The challenges it creates for our business is that it's not the center of the music business. And even in a digital flat world model, you still need to have presence with inside the major marketplaces such as New York, LA, and London. So what that means is that there's a lot of travel. But it also means that strategically you hire certain skill sets for certain cities. You don't hire it for, let's just say, normally you might try and duplicate the same office in every city that you put it in. That's not how we do it. A marketing person in Los Angeles can market to the world as long as they're willing to travel. So the Vancouver office tends to be more administrative backed. There's some creative here. There's a lot of the graphics creative. So there's certain skill sets that reside here. There's certain skill sets that reside in LA, different skill sets in New York, and so on and so forth. But if you're going to run a business out of Vancouver and it's an international business, chances are you're going to live 3-4 months out of a suitcase.
You're going to be traveling a lot, going to different places to acquire clients, businesses, and business meetings, etc.
Yeah, I mean, you can get a lot of communications done digitally, but nothing replaces a face-to-face interaction and the ability to have that sort of body language to sort of guide a conversation to a different place that you will not get with inside a digital sphere.
Right. Okay, we do some of our best work outside the office. Is there a place in the Lower Mainland in Vancouver close to where you live or work where you like to go recharge or get inspired or just think about your business? And does it change with the season considering all the rain we get here?
Well, my 1 hour to 90 minute break every single day is on a yoga mat. So I'll either do a morning practice or noon practice. And it's that 1 hour to myself. And when you're doing a yoga practice, even if it's guided within a room with 30 other people, it's still just you and your practice because you're not looking at everyone around you. That's my break. That's where some of my best ideas come from. Because that's when my mind becomes less busy. That's when I get clarity. That's when I relax.
Okay, I want you to imagine you've never been to Vancouver. If you were to start all over again and you just moved here to Vancouver, BC, but this time you don't know anyone, what would you do and how would you go about starting all over again as an entrepreneur?
Well, if I was in the music business, these days I could be anywhere. So I don't know, if I was in Vancouver, I'd find a really good coffee shop and just make that my office for the first while.
Just kind of see who walks in there and chats with people and get network a bit there?
Well, I think the type of music that I like is probably more universal to the Nordic countries of Europe. So, to me, it's just about discovery. It's about discovering music that you love, music that affects you, and then finding where those people are, finding those artists, and you can usually track them down quite well, and then just sending them an email. And some respond and some don't. I mean, probably, three of the last five artists that I've signed in the last 6 months have been through that process, through a process of discovery, and none of them have been from Vancouver. Yet, I haven't left Vancouver to go, meet them. I have not met either of those three artists yet.
And you've just been virtually speaking with them on emails and Skype and different things like that?
Basically email.
Okay. That's using modern technology. Interesting.
Yeah, so I could be anywhere.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about your routine. I know that you've just had kids, so I imagine that's a little bit of shaking things up.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, okay. But traditionally, what does the first hour look like for you when you get up in the morning? Do you have a specific routine that helps you get motivated to start your day?
Pre-kids, the routine was wake up with the sun, go do a morning yoga practice to have that clarity, that detox, that sort of centering. come into work with no email sitting on my desktop. So I would have cleaned off the sort of previous night's emails from Asia and, you know, Asia and Europe and, you know, back east. So I come in here. So when I come into my office, my, you know, doors are open and, you know, people have access to me right away.
Yes. You're pretty well a people business.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and having worked with the same partners the last, you know, almost 30 plus years, it's a very easy business to basically communicate in. And, you know, there's probably a key 12 to 14 people inside this company globally who set the actual strategy. So it's just an ongoing day of, I probably get 300, 400, sometimes 500 emails a day, dozens of phone calls, lots of IMs. You know, there's multiple ways to kind of get a hold of me, except when I'm at my yoga practice. And then usually about 5-ish, I head home. Obviously having kids, trying to take some of the responsibilities for cooking dinner, cleaning up, giving my wife a break. Then when everybody gets to sleep, I'm back on my laptop till probably midnight.
Do you think entrepreneurs have to be weird or unique in a positive way, or are wired differently?
I think they have to think differently. And when I say think differently is not be as pragmatic as a COO, not be as finance related as a CFO, but be more intuitive. And then try and find the data and the information to support your intuition so that you can win others over and make it a sort of strategy that the whole company believes in. I mean, I can do finance. I'm good at it, but I'm not great at it. I can do operations. I'm good at it, but I'm not great at it. What I am great at is imagining things that sometimes don't exist yet and having a sort of strategy and having a, you know, belief, but sometimes having to talk people into that blue sky to bring them along, because sometimes it's not something that you can actually see. So if I get bogged down in all of the operational needs of the sort of company, I'm not going to be doing that much.
Okay, what books are you reading now and why, or even audiobooks, and can you recommend any books for our listeners who are also aspiring entrepreneurs?
Funny enough, right now I'm not reading any books. Yet, you know, three years ago, before my daughter, I would be reading, you know, a book a month or even a book a week. Where I go now, where I find a lot of my best reading is on a blog post called Medium, which I absolutely love. I can follow different, like, topics, you know, anything from people who write stories to politics to technology to future thinking, you know, and it's just to arts, to design. It's such a... and that's where I kind of go for all of my reading.
Okay.
And so they're all 5-minute to 20-minute reads.
Any online or offline tools?
No. No, I mean, you know, sometimes I'll use like Flipbook, but I haven't used it in quite a long time.
Paper and pen?
Just to write down notes. Okay. But it's I don't really have a sort of daily sort of calendar. Sort of, you know, with a list of 10,000 things I have to do. The only thing that's in my calendar are, you know, meetings or phone calls that have been pre-scheduled.
Okay. Okay, well, as you know, Lower Mainland, Vancouver, BC, pretty majestic place. It's beautiful. We got oceans, we got lakes, we got rivers, you name it. It's all here. It's known for very outdoorsy people. How do you balance work, and how do you relax and not even think about work? And what is your sanctuary? And what are your favorite activities to do in BC with or without your family? Do you ski? Do you bike, kayak, golf, hike, or simply go for a drive?
Besides yoga, my other way to relax is to fish.
Fish?
Yeah, and when I say, and that's, you know, I won't say it's catching. I would say it's fishing, because I put back 99% of the fish I catch anyways. It's just fishing. It's being out in the water, away from everything, usually by myself, sometimes with a, you know, friend. Don't even play music. And just that sort of solitude, that sort of quietness.
Do you usually head to the island for that? Campbell River?
Places? No, I share a cabin on a lake on the Sunshine Coast called Sakana Lake, and it's a very unique lake in that the first 10-15 feet is fresh water, and then everything underneath that is salt water. So it's a very, very unique lake. Do that, and then once a year, the four partners that have run Network, we all go up to Langara Lodge, which is an amazing experience. And we go up there for 5 days, and we salmon fish amongst the humpback whales and orcas and eagles, and just it's like fishing in Lord of the Rings, right?
Yeah, it's Pacific Northwest living.
Oh, it's just beautiful, and you're on the open ocean, and it's the elements are there in full force, and it's just magical. But fishing's probably my go-to right after yoga, and obviously I meditate. That's just part of my yoga practice.
If you weren't doing what you do now, what would you like to do for a profession?
Oh boy, that's a really good question. Well, I like to create. So something in that sort of creation business now is that a VC funding ideas, or is it being on various boards to brainstorm ideas? I honestly don't know. Would I want to start another company? Probably not, because there's a bunch of responsibilities that come with that have nothing to do with creation.
What kind of a job would you not like to do?
Well, I think one where I can't use my imagination. I can't use my intuition, or I have to follow set rules, and there's no light changing that.
In business, what is your favorite word, quote, or sentence that you like to use?
It's all about intuition. Follow your intuition. It's always right. And if you try and get logical about it, you will go in the wrong direction.
What is your least favorite word or sentence you do not like to hear?
Can't do it.
If you had to pick one word or two words to describe yourself, what would it be and why?
Oh boy. Well, right now with no sleep, probably grumpy. But I'm not grumpy after like yoga. Spirited.
Okay.
But also calm. I'm a listener. I listen to what people have to say. And then I try and, find whether anything of what they've said resonates with me and actually does a micro, degree change in what I'm thinking. Especially in like someone else's perspective. I think that's really eye-opening.
Yeah, knowing exactly how the intuition, right? Knowing how to analyze things.
To actually be the observer, one of the hardest things to do is to observe yourself. And to be a really good listener, you need to observe yourself and make it that you don't interrupt, that you actually listen in a way that you allow what they have to say to actually affect you.
It's kind of like a lot of like meditation, just kind of watching your thoughts go by.
Yeah, but also to acknowledge that thought and then let it go. Because if you don't do that, it'll just keep coming back.
Mm-hmm. What keeps you up at night, if anything, aside from the baby?
Sometimes there's the odd stress. It's usually board related. Trying to get, your board focused in the same direction that you're at, that you're going. Boards are there to question and to push and to prod, and sometimes it's a pain in the butt.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Terry, I want you to give us the top three things on your inspired life list. This could be any type of a bucket list of things you want to do. I know you've traveled a lot, or maybe write some books, philanthropy, do a TEDx talk, anything like that. And the top three list of things that you haven't done that you'd like to do.
I like to go to a yoga retreat in Thailand. That would definitely be up there. Currently, I just like to sleep. But that will change in 3-4 years.
Yeah.
From now. I just want to go away to some place, completely disconnect, even electronically, for a good amount of time, and walk along beaches.
Okay. Do you have any advice that you may have received that you can pass on to aspiring or existing entrepreneurs in Vancouver and throughout BC?
You know, I've been fortunate in that I've had mentors who don't even know that they're mentors, who just through their actions and their energy and their passion and their spark for life that have been absolutely amazing. And you don't have to have someone that you call a mentor who you meet with. You just need to really focus to hang out with people that you really, really like and that inspire you and that bring your energy higher. And there's a lot of people in this city that basically do that, who are very, very successful purely because that is their personality. And they're also usually the people who are giving back to this city. So there's, you know, they're always there. They're always there. It's just when you're ready to accept that, you know, that they're there. And rather than looking at, you know, at them as gurus on a mountain, you actually look at them as just regular people. And then you start to interact.
Okay. Okay, Terry, you ready to have some fun?
Sure.
Okay. Well, as you know, entrepreneurs are always connected. Like you said earlier, you get 500 emails a day, your messages, meetings, you name it. It's all over the board. We're going to take you away from all that.
Okay.
Okay. There's a small tropical island just off of Fiji that only has one phone booth there, and there is no internet. We're going to drop you off there. You won't have a computer or a smartphone or a tablet. You can use the phone located there anytime to call the boat. We'll come pick you up. How long would you last before you made that call? And what would you do while you were there?
Okay, so this question is a perspective of where you are with inside your life.
Yes.
Right now, I wouldn't last for more than a day because I don't want to miss my young kids. Yet, before kids, you could have parked me there and I could have stayed there for years.
Okay, so before the kids, let's take it from there. Like, what would you do on this island if we dropped you off there?
You on the island?
Who's on the island?
No, I said, what would I do? I would I would. Do I have pencil? Pencil and pen?
You could take whatever you want on there. There's just no internet.
I would just start writing. I would start to build on ideas, create things. They might be all blue, you know, sky things, but I would be in a pure creative mode, not in an operational mode, not in an HR mode, not in any of the other modes that one needs to be in. I would purely use my imagination and use my intuition, probably drink lots of coconut water and swim.
Probably get a lot of stuff done there, I imagine, creatively.
Well, creative. I mean, I think it's why when I was in university, I, you know, chose civil engineering. It was the one form of engineering where you got to create things, you got to build versus just solve problems.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing is that engineering tends to be more logical though, isn't it?
Engineering teaches you a way to think. It teaches you a way to look at data, but it also teaches you a way to step back and maybe view the data from a different perspective.
Yeah.
Which is why, you know, back in when I was at university, civil engineering was the first step to being an architect.
Yeah. So I guess which is interesting because you kind of went from this kind of engineering profession education to all of a sudden music and the creative business and musicians and it's quite a dichotomy between the two, I think.
It is, but I would say that it's not. You know, I'm not a musician, yet I can intuitively pick a hit song because I pick things that I absolutely love. What the engineering did was allow me then to look at that and to build a path for it and to look at data and be able to use data as an advantage with inside the business that wasn't centered around data, didn't care about data, and use that as a, you know, logical pathway.
Interesting. Yeah, that's a different perspective of looking at things.
Yeah, we used to micro market individual cities versus do national marketing budgets. And so, you know, Sarah McLachlan or Bare Naked Ladies felt like, you know, you know, where they would go every week was me putting a blindfold on and throwing darts at a map of America. They could see no logic in, you know, what I was doing, but what they did see was bigger audiences every single time they went back to the same city. So they didn't argue with what was happening. They were just getting very, very burnt out doing it.
Okay. Interesting. Okay. How can our listeners get hold of you? And is there anything you'd like to add before you leave us today?
People can always just email me. I've been very open. I don't try and hide. It's just terry@network.com. You know, and I've, you know, gone to, I work with FWE and a lot of organizations and, you know, try and help younger entrepreneurs just brainstorm and not get caught up in the sort of, in all of the things that can stop them from being their own potential. So I'm, you know, people are, you know, more than welcome to reach out to me. I do not try and hide. Just don't expect me to answer back within inside 24 hours. That's all.
Okay. Great. Okay, Terry. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. I've learned a lot about you, and I'm sure our listeners have as well.
Great. Well, have an awesome day.
Okay, we'll see you next time.
Okay, take care.
Hey there. Thanks for taking the time to listen to the VancouverEntrepreneur.ca podcast. We hope you enjoyed the show today. Make sure you sign up for our newsletters and write a review for us on iTunes, and then connect with us on Twitter @VanCityPodcast and like us on Facebook. And you'll get all the latest news, including the BC Weekly Business Report, where you can find out more about what's going on in this fabulous province of ours. See you next time.